Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hold up, Mike. Now, dude. Oh, that was Stu.
Yeah, that was Stu.
Mike's hot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I did
not the
say,
one sitting next to me.
I did not say that.
Okay. Yeah, you did not. That's why I was asking.
I said I'm going to turn on the microphone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he turned on the mic.
Okay. Yeah. I get it. So, okay.
You feeling turned on?
Hello. Yeah. Can
hey,
you hear me?
Hey, man.
Hey,
like
can you hear
me?
Like
my new Bubba cup?
Is that a Bubba cup?
Yeah.
Are you a Bubba?
Well, here's the thing about a 2006. The Yeti wasn't invented yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the cup holders don't hold that size drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go and buy a new cup that does fit the old style cup holder.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's a Bubba.
Yeah. That's also called a petty style.
Okay.
That's what we call the petty cups, where the bottom is more narrow than the top, and it fits in the cup holder.
And what it's called is bass ackwards engineering.
Or you could just drink it all before
this
you
is,
got
this
in the
is
car.
Something that has long well, no, this is so I don't cough during the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, see, they did that to fit a 12-ounce Budweiser can.
Yeah.
Or Miller Lite.
That was the standard of measurement,
but
wasn't
the
it?
Correct way to make any vessel that holds a liquid
mm-hmm.
is for it to be wider on the bottom than on the top so that it is not top heavy.
That's yeah. right.
Or to make it uniform all the way and weight the bottom. And I don't know why we don't make things like that. It's illogical.
You think differently than everybody else.
Yeah, I think about not spilling my drink.
That's right.
Hey, I bought a car one time with no cup holders in it. How about that?
I hope you got a discount.
And it was used.
And it was the finest engineering former Yugoslavian engineers could put together with.
And there was coffee stains everywhere. All over the carpet and everything.
So. Hey, if anybody out there is really hungry for socialism, Google the Yugo.
Yeah. You go to Google.
I don't think they lasted 2 years on the road.
I don't know.
It wasn't very long.
Well, they were disposable. It was a disposable vehicle. Well,
wasn't planned that way. It just turned out like that.
Yeah. I was working for Domino's back in those days, and we had one driver who had a Yugo, and he was a big boy. And when he put a pizza or more in the car, it struggled to make it up hills. Just the additional weight, about a 325-pound boy now crammed into to the Yugo. But when he added just a few pizzas or a six-pack of Cokes, he had
tip
trouble
scale,
getting
huh?
it. Yeah, he had
tip
it
scale.
The balance was that close.
Hey, Stu.
Whereas my truck will haul 4,900 pounds.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, you were going to say something, and I interrupted you.
I was going to welcome everybody. Couldn't tell everybody good morning.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show with Mike and Stu and Charlie and Phil and John from Fish River and whoever else we got. This has been a crazy week for you and I.
It has been a crazy week. For those who haven't heard the news, the Fairhope Market has ceased operations.
And did it make it 3 months?
No.
Just that's sad.
Ran out of capital, and you told me you saw a sign on it that said closed for rebranding.
Well, they were trying to rebrand, is what it said. And
Chris, Cheryl, and I had
and
this 30% conversation.
30% pop-up wine sale and 30% off on everything. And, you know, it's sad. I mean, it put people on – it made people unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And
luckily for me, only 20 minutes. I had a very good relationship. The job that I left to go there at Sim's House of Pizza, I made sure I worked out my notice and, you know, did everything mm-hmm. right up until the end. And I messaged Chris Brill, the owner.
Y'all hear that, you young people, don't you?
Yeah.
You give a notice and you work out a notice.
And that's the best 2 weeks you work should be the last 2 weeks you work there.
Mm-hmm.
You follow all the rules. And Chris was actually in Colorado on his bachelor party getting ready for his upcoming nuptials. And he said, come in Friday and Saturday night. I'll put you on the schedule next week. Glad to have you back.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing is good because he's getting ready to go on his honeymoon. So mm-hmm. I got lucky. You know, I had a fallback. And my severance was pretty nice. Two of the thickest Wagyu ribeyes you've ever seen. Had one for Dad. Tyler Flowers, you stop by the meat market, grab you what you want. And I showed him the two ribeyes. He goes, we've got some beautiful 1621 shrimp. You ought to put some of those with it. So I got about three dozen of those.
Dang.
And we're having the other ribeye tonight. I froze one. We ate the other. It's big enough we share it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's so much fat content on the Wagyu ribeye that it's a lot more of a chore to finish one than it is a standard ribeye, because that fat starts bogging you down like Thanksgiving dinner before you get to the end.
Hmm.
So it's better to...
That's when you go take a nap and come back and finish up later.
No, but I figure we just share the steak. And it's over a pound. I mean, it's $45-$50.
Well, Heather's so little, she only needs two bites, and she's full.
And that has served us well. But, one of the things that I try to do to keep the weight off is I try to eat what Heather eats. You know, she orders this size, I'm ordering that size too.
Yeah.
With the knowledge that I'm probably going to get two or three bites of that one. But it not only saves us money, but it keeps me from getting up to 330 pounds again. And so whatever size she orders, that's what I go with. We go to Whataburger. I used to be, whatever, my friends would get a Whataburger, and I get, I want the 3/4 pounder.
Yeah.
And the extra large fries. Now, whatever size she gets, that's what I get.
Right.
With the knowledge that if I'm still a little hungry, I'm probably going to get a few bites of that. And it works out wonderfully. As you can see, I'm not 340 pounds.
Now, you've done an extremely well job of keeping – your weight down and
the bike riding helps, although I haven't rode it was so hot this summer.
And then
finally get a week where I can ride and it rains every day.
Yeah.
Which is good grief, man. They could not have been worse predicting weather this past week if they had. And I realize the atmosphere changes. These things are unpredictable, and that's why all this man-made global warming stuff you have to take with a grain of salt, because the science just isn't there, does not exist mm-hmm. to support any evidence
I
for
agree.
It.
I love it when the weather forecaster on TV especially, he'll say, it'll be 71 in Fairhope, and it'll be 72.5 in Foley, and it'll be 70 in Elsinore.
Yeah.
They have no clue. Why don't they just say it's going to be in the low to mid-70s?
That's why they're predicting and they're forecasting.
And I love the futuristic radar. They have no clue.
Yeah. It's probabilities. Is the computer is running thousands of possibilities.
Well, I love my
just like with the spaghetti tracks on the hurricanes. That's several computers running models.
Yeah,
several thousands of times, and you do that enough, you get a pretty good idea.
You want to know how to beat the weather?
Yeah.
Computers.
Yeah.
It's real simple.
Yeah. But
get a dozen old guys together and walk outside and look at the clouds and
see who creaks
and see who has an aching elbow or knees or hips and say that hip is about a 20% chance of rain.
I do it with my sinuses, my headache. I get headaches when
that'll let you know when humidity and barometric pressure are
barometric
going
pressure. I got
and water on your windshield.
I used to say I got a barometric pressure headache.
Yeah.
But get you a weather rock.
Yeah.
Get your weather rock.
Yeah, that's okay.
Somebody gave me a thing that had a tube of water or some kind of clear liquid, and if it got cloudy and bad weather was coming,
Well, folks,
and it paid good money.
The World Food Championships has been going on this week in mm-hmm. Dallas, Texas.
Yes, it has.
And the Mobile area has represented extremely well.
I'm giddy with it.
Yes. Two number one finishes on Thursday.
Yeah.
going with the top 10 squaring off. Dolphin Island Sea Lab, I believe, was fourth.
Davidson High School, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I think that was Alma Bryant and Davidson together.
So when we come back, we're going to talk to two of those number one finishers.
I am so happy for these people. I am so happy for them.
Yeah, a little home free here for you.
Love these guys.
Whiskey therapy sessions. Buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens. As long as you're tipping, it's a...
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All that cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine.
What's up, Rob? The Irish Pub and Grill. You're listening to Spin Chew with Mike and Stu.
Ooh, who that? Weed. That's Chef Rob from Lucky.
Oh, okay. Hey, we want to sponsor our, thank our sponsors who make this show possible.
Yes.
Bob's Downtown Diner, the corner of Fat and Happy. I was down there getting Fat and Happy yesterday. Yeah. They were doing starting a poker run, and it was packed out with motorcycles
and
everywhere.
Yeah, and on that subject, Tony had lost a regular customer this week.
Oh, yeah.
John Golson, who I worked for down on the island at a restaurant. And John, we're going to miss you. I know Tony's going to miss you, and all the folks down at Bob's Diner.
Absolutely,
miss you.
I did not know him very long, but it was nice knowing him.
Fun guy, always a fun person to be around.
I hear that too. And we also got to thank Hall's sausage
Hall's
meats.
Sausage,
yes. And I saw where some made it to Dallas.
Mm-hmm. The World Food Championship action with Hall's. And if you want to send us a message, you text us on the I can do this because you can't. You have not gotten it right yet. Callahan's Irish Social Club text line.
He needs a shorter name.
Yeah.
But it's worked out for 80-something years.
Yeah. Well, I know, but that was before we had text lines.
That's right.
All right. Well, our first caller is on the line already, and you've met this gentleman before.
I met him a couple times. I know him, but I'm so excited for him, though.
Yeah. Good morning, Roy. Boy, I cannot tell you how proud I was when I saw that Facebook posting on Thursday, Roy.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You guys
hear
me okay?
Oh, a little bit. Yeah,
it's a little in and out.
Yeah.
Let me see.
If you're on speakerphone, come off of.
Take you off speakerphone. Is that
stand with Roy. One foot in the air.
Yeah, much better, Roy. Glad you put the aluminum foil on the aerials.
The weather's been great out here, guys.
I bet.
I don't think there's been a cloud in the sky since I landed here on Tuesday.
Is there any decent barbecue at all?
Pardon me?
Is there any decent barbecue or Mexican food up there where you are?
You know, I've just been totally focused on this food competition. I'm staying right here. They're feeding me. It's just been a wonderful experience. And they're cooking. They're barbecuing and cooking. The guys, there's a display with the Komodo Joes.
Yeah.
And those guys are bringing the food. I mean, they're cooking. They probably are cooking 1,000 pounds of meat or more a day.
That's what I loved about it.
And just piling the plate.
Yeah, that's what I loved about it down at Orange Beach. Heck, I ate every day, and there was a lot to eat.
Yeah. Well, Roy, do you remember last year when I competed in burger? I had a lot of burger meat left and a lot of time. I made a big batch of Sloppy Joes and sent it into the VIP tent
and
trying
I never
to bribe
got
the
any.
Judges.
I love Sloppy Joes. It did not work.
Well, what happened to me over the weekend or the week, it was good. I competed on Tuesday, and it was felt really good. Wednesday, I got my dish turned in, and they said, well, the results will be called out on Thursday at noon, and there was nothing on social media, so you had to wait. And I get down there, and they start at number 10 and work their way down to all the way down the list, so things aren't looking too good for me. And there I am, number one. They call my name out, and I think, I just jumped up and down with joy. It's amazing. What a great feeling that was. And
did you yell War Eagle or Roll Tide?
I just yelled.
Or Roll Eagle.
I was
War
just
Tide.
Screaming. I don't think there was a word involved. It was just. it's hard to explain that feeling. It really.
Well, I know everybody in Mobile was ecstatic for you. Right. And blew up social media here.
Yeah. And then a couple hours later. And we're going to have him on next. Dan Navarro posts, and he finished first in his category as well.
he finished first, and I let him. So, I know how that went. I was sitting with him last night. So.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm very proud of him. That's a great team he's got.
When I was at Lucky, I had a bunch of Cullinard grads that were working for me. And Dan had, been an instructor. And they had told me that somebody had put together some big burger throwdown in Gulf Shores. And it was like Wesley True and I think Chris Sherrill and Bill Brent. And they are, big, huge names. Maybe Brody Olive was in a huge names. And they needed one more slot and asked Cullinard. So Dan filled in and beat all of them.
Right.
All of these big name chefs. So the man can cook as well as teach.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of myself. I think I'm.
You should be.
Yeah. My best finish was 26.
These were the greatest of the greatest cooks in the world, and here I am sitting in number first place.
And you should be proud, Roy. That's a different venue of cooking than anything you've ever done in your life, isn't it?
It is. I'd do it tomorrow. I mean, I'd do it all over again anytime.
Yeah, I've competed the last 2 years and had a lot of fun, and it's very intense. And this year, just at the beginning of the summer, we just started talking. It's like, I'm just not going to be able to go this year. We've got too many other things.
I was hoping you was going to be here. I really was. I was looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, but we made the decision in June that it just wasn't going to be in our plans. We're trying to go to North Dakota for Thanksgiving to visit Heather's sister, and I've never been to North Dakota. And I'm just so jazzed about this because I've been to just about every place in the West, and you and I both have this affinity for the West. So I get to.
Oh, I like it. Never been there. It'd be a good trip.
Yeah, and I got my 4x4, man. Got my 4x4 going in the mountains. So.
Lord. They can haul a lot of pizza.
Mount Rushmore, right?
Yeah. Now tell us
quick. It's on my bucket list. I want to see it.
Rapid City, South Dakota. I've seen it a couple of times, done the hike up there. Just incredible. Your structured dish was a Cubano, which I'm hearing great things about. What was your signature dish?
My signature dish, I did a southern brunch on a bun. It was a fried green tomato, egg white omelet, crab cake, smoked Gouda cheese, remoulade sauce, the right brand bacon, and a arugula English muffin.
Oh, God, that sounds great.
Now, with my Cubano, I won almost by 4 points over any of the other chefs. So, I took down the world food champion Cubano maker from Miami, Florida, that's been winning Cubano contests forever.
That's big.
Yeah, did you use salami? I know that's controversial.
There was I did it very traditional. We had to use a Kentucky Legend ham, and I found a pork shoulder in a deli at Walmart, and it's prepackaged, pre-cooked, and the bread I brought from home. I bought a little place over in Biloxi, and I think I've told y'all about eating there. Yeah. Le Bakery over in Biloxi, Mississippi. And they got the best bread. I mean, so I was like, well, I know the bread, so I brought my own bread, and that could have been it.
When you're dealing with, especially on the level that you're dealing with a sandwich, the bread is uber important. I mean, it's critical.
Well, I've got the question. I want to ask the question that's everybody's burning the ass, so I get the opportunity to ask it. Are you going to put these sandwiches on your menu?
maybe we'll do a special on a Saturday on the Cubano. On Sundays, we have brunch, so we have the crab cake. So there's a possibility I could do that for a brunch item on Sunday with the southern brunch on a bun. Yes.
And what did you do for your round two dish yesterday?
Very similar. Coop's Mustard was a sponsor, and I created a new sandwich that I was hoping was going to take the world by storm called a Coopalee. And it's it's a fantastic sandwich. I take my crab cake and again, top it with some smoked Gouda cheese. I did a shrimp remoulade using the Coop's mustard, and I made an arugula salad using the Coop's mustard. And in that sandwich, I finished 1 point higher than all the other chefs.
Mm. So wow!
With that score, unfortunately, I missed my turn-in times too.
Oh. I was wondering. I went online this morning and looked at the score and went, that doesn't make any sense. Something happened there. So
yep. Oh, I needed. I was a little confident on my time. I really was. I probably needed a 2 minutes. I needed 5 minutes. I was probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes out from turning in. I had two sandwiches to finish the build, mm-hmm. and I was 10 seconds from the turn in table. But there's next year.
There you go. Oh,
that's a good attitude.
All right, we got to wrap it up for the segment, Roy. Yes, congratulations, you made Mobile proud, folks. We haven't mentioned it. This is the guy that owns Butch Cassidy's. Get down to Butch Cassidy's Cafe, folks. And Roy, honestly, man, congratulations. I am so proud.
Good job, Roy. Good job, buddy.
Y'all keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
You too, Roy.
We'll come back. Dan Navarro, also World Food Championships, came in first one day last week, and we'll tell you what happened yesterday.
You.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
You serve it with Hall sausage.
That's what you do. Scrambled
eggs all over my face.
Good grief, Frazier. What is a boy to do? So we've been talking World Food Championships. They're in Dallas this week. They spent the last 3 years in Orange Beach. Before that, they were in Orlando. Before that, Las Vegas. So this thing moves every few years.
Yeah.
And it, which is a great thing.
Absolutely.
To move it around, because it was easy for Alabama to represent the last 3 years because it was right here in Alabama. And, you know, no one saw this coming. That we were the states did, just like in football, we're dominating cooking. And on the line with this is yet another Alabama chef who went to World Food Championships in Dallas and last week cooked a couple of good dishes. And that's my good friend Dan Navarro, who's getting ready to go visit Jason Lafferty, aren't you? You there, Dan?
I'm going to go see him in a couple of weeks.
Heck yeah. Good to hear. Good to hear. Hey, man, Mike and I both are overwhelmed with pride for you. And wasn't your sous chef a young man that I'll want to hire in a few years?
Absolutely. My seventh grade son, 12 years old, is our team sous chef this year again for the second year in a row and helped us knock it out of the park again.
All right, so you competed in the chef category. Just a quick rundown, what was required this year, where did you qualify, and then what did you make? Any order you want to do it, Dan.
All right. This year I was working with a good friend of mine, Matthew Statham. He is the one of the chefs for Saw's Barbecue up in Birmingham, Alabama. And we got together and we qualified and went up and won the Great Slider Showdown in Franklin, Tennessee against a bunch of folks from Atlanta and Nashville and all that kind of good
stuff. In a beautiful town, Franklin.
Ticket to qualify for this.
Didn't you love Franklin? Isn't it a wonderful city?
Oh, my God. It was a great town. The competition was in the big factory that they have up there that is just unreal, amazing place.
I'm going to derail you just a second. Go back to Franklin in the first couple of weekends in December. Check the Facebook page with the city. They shut the town square down and do what's called a Dickens of a Christmas, and they turned the entire downtown square into 18th century London with people walking around in character from a Christmas carol. It is just one of the most phenomenal Christmas events in the country, and I'm going to try and go again this year. It's been years since I've been, but okay. Now we're done with Franklin
Tourism.
It's
amazing. One of my best friends in the world, my platoon sergeant when I was in the Marine Corps 100 years ago, him and his family live in Franklin, so we go up there all the time to visit them, and we got the opportunity to compete up there. It was even better.
Yeah. So you won the slider thing, qualified in the chefs, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We qualified in the chef competition. We came down here as Team Statham. Matthew was our team captain this year, but it was a 100% team effort. None of us could have done it by ourselves. We got up here and we kicked butt our first round, our opening round, our structured dish, we had to do a roulade. All the criteria was it had to be a savory rolled item. Could be rolled in any kind of protein, bread, whatever, as long as it was a savory dish. And we had to use Miner's soup bases as our signature ingredient.
Okay. And what kind of roulade?
A skirt steak roulade with a Gruyere cheese and a little parsley and spinach. And then we did a Gruyere stuffed tater tot. We actually made homemade tater tots with big chunks of Gruyere stuffed inside of them. And then we did a mushroom bourbon sauce to go over the top with it.
Oh, that is incredible. And then what was your signature dish?
Our signature dish, we did a we took some good old Southern flavors, some Alabama flavors, and we did a seared scallop over a Gruyere cheese grits with some Brussels sprout fries. We just basically took the skins off, the outer edges off the Brussels sprouts and crisped them up real nice and seasoned them real good with some Rice Bran bacon. That was our ancillary contest we were in for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made like a lemon brown butter sauce to go over the top of it.
Mm. That sounds phenomenal. And after those two dishes, where were you ranked?
After those two dishes, we were number one.
That's
in the top
right. 10. Number one, second Mobile Baldwin County representative to come in number one that day. And I
Absolutely.
Know Roy was sitting with you at the awards ceremony, so I know you guys hung out.
Oh, yeah, we hung out quite a bit. We were all talking the whole time. And,
did y'all watch the Alabama game together?
Collaborating for next year already.
y'all got together and yelled Roll Tide?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The best part is, you know, Mike McLeod is a diehard Tennessee fan.
That's right.
So, I made sure I let him know it a few times last night.
So since you were first place there, that's a top 10. You got to compete again yesterday. And what did you do yesterday, and what was the final outcome?
Well, going into yesterday, we were confident because we were first. We were like, all right, cool, everybody's got to chase us down. But in our category, from first place to 10th place was only 3 points difference. From first place to 6 points was less than 1 point difference. So we were like, all right, they're chasing us, but they're not chasing us a whole bunch. So we got to really put it down on the final dish to see what we can get done.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into the final round yesterday, and we had to use Wampler's sausage, Wampler's omega-3 sausage.
It's a great sausage.
Oh, I love that sausage. Mm-hmm. It was nice because we did a couple of demos with Mr. Wampler last year at the World Food Championships in Orange Beach, and he'd given us a whole bunch of sausage to use for the demos and then to take home. So I've been making sausage gravy with his sausage for the last year, so I was kind of happy when we got that draw.
Yeah.
And then so it had to be Wampler sausage, and it had to be a brunch dish.
That sounds good.
So we basically made like a croissant tart shell, and we made Wampler sausage, a Wampler's omega-3 sausage gravy, and we put that down in the bottom of it. And then we cooked off some kale, like we do the collard greens down south, a little barbecue sauce, lots of vinegar, some real good spice to it, sautéed off some mushrooms, and we kind of layered it all together in the tart, like sausage gravy and then some of the sautéed kale and mushrooms. And then we had an over-easy egg, or a sunny-side-up egg on top of it, and then we made some Parmesan cheese twills to go on the top of it, and just some crumbled bacon. And sausage on the top of it as well.
Because you can't have too much pork, Dan Navarro.
Oh, no. You know how I
no
am.
Such thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised you didn't top it all with a whole hog.
Yeah. If we could have figured out a way to do it, we just
to get it to fit on the 4 1/4-inch plate, right?
Oh, yeah. We made it all fit. I mean, the chefferies were right there with us.
Yeah.
Just before we got ready to send it in, checking to make sure that our plates all fit on the table, on the tray properly. So.
Yeah, and not too tall. Well, when they tallied up everything, how did you finish? Did you do okay?
When they tallied up everything,
yep.
We finished in first place and won $10,000.
That's right. Wow. I saw that big old check.
You're my new best friend.
Man, that should be your cover photo for the next year.
Yeah. And some of the photos they took of us last night were a little interesting. Me standing there with my mouth wide open and all that kind of good stuff. But, hey, I think it was worth it.
And now you move on to Indianapolis, and that's where they're going to do the final table this year?
Yes, sir. The Indianapolis in Indianapolis, the first week of May, I think it is.
Okay. Yeah, it was the
they will be hosting the final table this year. We will compete against the top five. The top person from every category in the World Food Championships.
Mm-mm-mm. And you win that one. How much do you take home?
$100,000.
And just so you know, the current World Food Champion just lives right down the road in Long Beach, Mississippi.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mike and I went behind the scenes and Heather in New Orleans in May and got to watch the top 10 competition from behind the scenes. And,
yeah.
So neat over there.
Yeah. Well, your phone is getting a little wanky, and you've got a family to get to. So we're going to let you get back to the Navarro clan. And, Dan, once again, you know, we've known each other for years, and I've always had the utmost respect for you. You're a great instructor, and you have proven you are one of the best chefs in the world, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Dan Navarro, man. Man, I am so excited for my buddy. That is incredible.
Two great guys.
Yeah, two great guys. And you said the Davidson team, they did awfully well. They had a top
high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, they competed down there at Dolphin Island, and they got to go, along with a Davidson alumni who Lou Ann graduated with. She was with them. And I forget her name right off the top of my head. But also A.C. Vincent.
Yeah, from good Alabama, good friend of mine, A.C. Vincent, the redneck chef.
He won in the biscuit and jelly category. You know, they got categories.
He did the ancillary, I saw one of those. Heather and I interviewed the folks with that Jelly Queens last year, and they had these amazing jellies they were doing. And I don't know, you probably sampled them, because like one of them was an apricot champagne jelly or something.
Yeah,
I did. And she made biscuits for everybody to sample them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just her biscuits, just made some biscuits. Well, this is the best biscuits I've ever had in my life, Mike. And I told her, I said, as good as these jellies are, you should really be pushing these biscuits. And she goes, a lot of people here have told me that. And I think she ramped it on up, and they were tea biscuits, so, you know, for the samples.
Yeah.
Just really some of the
what
best.
What brand?
She made them. From scratch. That's just her biscuit recipe. And those jellies are phenomenal.
From scratch. There you go. We're a little silly.
I know how to scratch my beard because Escher is a fan of scratching my beard for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he likes to rub his whiskers on my beard.
Well, Jude just likes knocking everything I own off the counters.
Yeah, well,
onto
you
the
got
floor
a Hellcat, man.
And
we
watch
got
me
a
pick
pet.
It up.
You didn't get a domestic cat, man.
I had a psycho kitty.
Yeah. I had to put him in the bathroom every night.
Yeah, well, you know, they say that their personalities reflect that of their owner.
Oh, really?
No, I just made that up.
I have to defer to a kitty expert.
So, World Food Championships wrapping up in Dallas this week. I know our buddy Chris Sherrill has been out there. A.C. Vincent, you mentioned, Dan, Roy, Mike McLeod, lots of friends. The Calametti brothers have been out there spearheading, you know, Team Alabama for another great showing. I think we had 25 or 26 teams this year. And that should tell you about the quality of food in this state. Over 400 chefs from all over the world, and 25 of them come from the state of Alabama.
Yeah. Diane Hill Rourke is the other lady. She's an alumni of. Oh, she was at the final table in New Orleans.
Yeah, she was at Food Champ University last year too.
All right,
folks, we're gonna. Oh, I'm sitting here punching Mike in the mic.
Mike's Mike.
Hey, if you want to send us something, 343-0106 to the Callahan's Irish Social Club text line.
Not seeing a lot of text this morning.
Yeah. Bob's Diner.
Wake up, folks.
Eat at Bob's Diner.
Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land. Well, I wear this net on my head, 'cause my red hair is falling out. I wear these brown orthopedic shoes cause I got a bad case of the gout. I know you want seconds on the corn dogs, but there's no reason to shout. Everybody gets enough food down here in Halong's Lady Land.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Why don't you mention our sponsors?
Okay. We got sponsors, y'all, and they are fantastic people. Bob's Downtown Diner got that Bailey's breakfast going on down there.
And they got their pancake menu.
Mm-hmm. And the bottomless mimosa is going to kick off
soon? No, it's not bottomless anymore, what I was told yesterday, but it has a bottom. It's
though.
Pretty cheap.
Yeah. Well, now, I thought that's why all those motorcycle riders came down to get mimosas.
And
the poinsettias.
And, man, they use Billy's bacon on stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And, hey, it's great food, folks. Go down and don't take our word for it. Go check it out. You'll know we're talking.
It's at the corner of Fat and Happy, but that happens to translate into North Jackson and St. Francis Street.
Yeah, if you don't speak American.
That's it.
What happened to your phone? Did you?
Oh, that's just the case taken apart so that it'll...
Oh, so it'll work on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
We're transmitting on as we speak.
Live on the Facebook. Yeah, on the Facey Spacey.
And so now you can see what y'all look like.
Face Space.
And you know another thing good for breakfast?
What's that?
Hall sausage.
Always.
That andouille. Good Lord, that andouille is good.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. Mm-hmm. I am trying to learn to like boudin and andouille.
Maybe
I really am.
Why would you not like them?
And I didn't grow up with them. And, you know, and I mean, I didn't grow up with Kaneka sausage either, but still.
You've had boudin all your life. It's called dirty rice.
Okay. Well,
In fact, I have done a quick cheat on dirty rice before where I bought boudin, boiled it in water, then pulled the boudin out, boiled more rice in that water, then cut the boudin open, and just that was the rest of the dirty rice.
I stayed at a B&B outside of Slidell, right on the tip end. South, real south on the water, on the Gulf, and this real Cajun guy, and he was French Cajun, and he told me, he said, now this is why it's called, I didn't understand it, and then when he explained it to me, I started liking it, but I don't cook with it, I don't, you know, I've never bought any, so I guess I'm just not familiar.
You know who I bet is familiar with it.
Oh, I know.
Hey, before you go to John, I just want to mention one thing real quick. You're talking about going to North Dakota?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, you know, I've said this theory before that if Aztecas or one of those would go down to Cozumel and set up on the cruise ship dock, they would have a blazing business. It would just be killing it. If you went to North Dakota and opened a Sweet Home Alabama barbecue shack, I think it would work. Yeah. Besides that, there's probably a lot of Alabama folks up there fracking.
Probably with a Cuban sandwich like Roy makes.
Take some food from another part of the country, and it's usually gets some attention.
Well, let's bring John from Fish River on and sit. John, can you believe that Mike is having to learn to like andouille and boudin?
I figured that would be right up Mike's alley.
Yeah.
You know, you take boudin, take a nice full length, and wrap it in bacon, bake it in the oven, 350 till it's done. You'll know when it's done.
Invite Boudreaux over for boudin.
Yeah, when the bacon is crisp, the sausage is done.
And his buddy named Charlie.
from Thibodeau.
What's on your mind this morning, John?
I'm looking for Chase's Sanborn Coffee. Where can I find it?
Ooh, I hadn't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, but I understand it's pretty good. And there's a guy I know up in central Alabama. He said he hasn't had it in years. He said it's some of the best coffee.
What's the name of it again?
Jason Sanborn.
It was a very common supermarket brand.
Yeah,
as we say back in the
day. At first, I thought you said David Sanborn. And I was like, the saxophone player makes coffee now?
Chase and Sanborn.
Have you Googled it, John?
Yes, I have, and it just went, you know, gave me some pictures of Chase and Sanborn, and But yeah, we did that a couple of weeks ago, but we couldn't find a retailer.
You asking about that reminds me. I've been looking for a product called San Francisco Salt Company, and they can do a cherry smoked sea salt. And I remember being a kid here in Mobile, in the Mobile area, and you could buy San Francisco salt.
Was
back
this
then.
Cherry smoked
this was
sea
right
salt?
Around wartime, right?
Which war?
Civil War.
I think so.
But you could buy this. And I checked with RZA at Food Pack, because you can get anything there.
Yeah.
And it was not. And he said he could order it, but he did not have it. Because I want to try that cherry wood smoked sea salt from San Francisco Salt Company.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, so.
I just can't see where that would make a real big difference in the salt.
And, you know. It's not anything you're going to cook with.
You know, it's not
a cooking salt. You'll lose all of that flavor if you cook with it. It's a finishing salt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had a few smoked salts, and honestly, I could not tell that they were smoked. It just tasted like salt.
Arisa's got some great ones.
Yeah, I probably
He's
need
got
to try
some great
I'm sure mine came from, I don't know, Pottery Barn or someplace on discount.
You know, but while we're on spices and seasoning, Mike got a question for you. Do you remember that spice pack I brought you from Texas, that Bodacious
bean spice?
Do you remember of any particular ingredient, herb, or spice that was in there?
Something smells and tastes smoky.
Could be cumin.
But, no, I'm trying to put my finger on something else, cumin. Whether it was turmeric or it was a very bold flavor.
Turmeric is very delicate.
It is very delicate. Yeah,
the color is straight with the food.
It almost has no flavor at all.
Yeah. It's
unless you use a lot of it.
Yeah, which I do to get the color. But I usually use it in curries and stuff, where everything else I'm using will bury whatever.
Every time I steam or stir fry some vegetables, I put that stuff in there.
Turmeric or
no
curry?
No, you're supposed to use it on beans only.
Bodacious. Man,
I use it in all vegetables.
You can't shackle a man like Mike Bailey with petty rules.
I have no boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does not subscribe to the mores of society.
No boundary seasoning.
I'm my own man.
Yeah.
With less than a minute to talk.
Yeah. He is his own man, and he will do, by God, whatever Luann tells him to do.
All right. You haven't had
or
to
his
with,
cat.
Or my cat.
Sanborn. I'm looking for a place to eat up there around UAB. Anybody have anything?
Why are you going to UAB?
You mean Birmingham? It's chock full of stuff. Flip Burger. Wonderful Mediterranean restaurant that Marty Duncan's in. Message Marty Duncan on Facebook.
Yeah.
Around UAB?
Yeah, anywhere in Birmingham.
Hey, John, we got to go, buddy.
She literally wrote the book on eating in Birmingham.
There you go.
Literally.
Okay. John, we got to go, man. Babaganoush
and provolone to you all.
Provolone. So. Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local, and provolone.
Provolone.
Now, you talk so fast that we got to wait on the singers.
Oh, do we now?
Here they
come. Well, once again, yes. That should be an infused dish at World Food Championship right there.
Bye, y'all.
Provolone.